Welcome to the Saving Grace Adventist Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed by the Word of God.
Today is Education Day, a day where we celebrate the journey of education. But to fully appreciate what education is, we have to know the what, the why, the how, the when, and the where. We have to fully define what education is. So the person who is looking for education will know exactly what to look for. He will know why he's looking for it. He will know how to look for it, where to find it. And when he has found it, he will be able to tell if it's really education or not. There's many people walking around here thinking that they're educated, but they're not educated. A famous neurosurgeon said, if you give me a bum off the street and you give me 7 years of his life and I teach him brain surgery every day, said, after 7 years, this bum will be able to do brain surgery. Just because he knows brain surgery doesn't mean he's educated. Just because you know how to fix a car, you know how to fix a heart or a brain, it doesn't mean you're educated. But in America, somehow we feel that because somebody's a doctor or somebody can build a building or can build a car, he's educated. But the Bible tells us that education is more than this. You see, education begins with the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. The Bible doesn't ever use the word education. It uses wisdom. Because wisdom and education, you see, are synonymous. Knowledge is not education. Knowledge is not education. Between me and Google, we know a lot. But it doesn't mean that I'm educated. See, education is to be able to use the knowledge that you have. A man had 5 children. And where's my... A man had 5 children. And if I can find my bag. Can you all see me over here? All right. Man had 5 children. And these 5 children, one could see, just one. One could hear, one could smell, one could taste, and one could touch. Just 5 children. Now, the father sent his children out to find an apple. They needed apples to survive. So the one that could smell, he studied what the smell of an apple was. So he knew what an apple should smell like. The one that could see, he looked at pictures of apples, all kinds of apples. So he knew what an apple should look like. The one that could hear, he knew what it is to bite into an apple. He knew what the crunch, he heard that crunchy sound that an apple makes. The one that could feel, he knew how the shape of the apple, how the apple is nice and round. So they all went out. One could hear, but again, that one who could hear, he couldn't see, touch, or taste, or smell, but he could hear. So one went out, and the one that went out that could see, he could see an apple. He knew what it looked like, so he came back, and he gave his father this. Now, what is this? Huh? Looks like an apple, right? Yeah. Is it an apple? But it looks like an apple. So he saw all the pictures. So you couldn't tell him that it wasn't an apple. But was it an apple? No. But he studied, you know. He got his PhD in what an apple should look like. Another one, he went out and he said, I know
An apple is crunchy. So he came back with this.
When you bite into this, does it make a crunch?
Yeah, it's nice and crunchy.
But is this an apple?
Not an apple.
Another son came back,
and he knew what the apple should feel like, right? And he came back with this.
Looks like an apple. It's nice and round, right? Is it an apple? If I bite into this, does it make a crunchy sound? Does it smell like an apple?
No, but
you think it feels like an apple? Yeah, it feels like an apple. And it's round like an apple.
Then the one that all he knew was taste, he knew what an apple tastes like. Apple tastes nice and sweet, right? So he came back with this. Can you imagine? Is this an apple? So none of the brothers came back with the right thing. But one guy was left. Who was left? Smell. And he went out and he... What? Guess what he brought? It's apple scented. Smells like an apple. And he came to Dad and he said, Dad, I found it. It smells like an apple. It must be an apple. Was it an apple? No. So sometimes it smells like it, tastes like it, looks like it, sounds like it. But is it it? No. So this is where we need education. Because sometimes your education will tell you that you know what you're talking about. And you're sure about what you're talking, but you could be dead wrong. Am I lying? No. So all brothers needed to come together, right? And if they came together, they would have gotten a real apple, right? But look at this apple. Is it a good apple? So even after they found an apple, there's higher learning, right? Because now you have to find out, is it a good apple or a bad apple? So they went to Dad and said, Dad, I found an apple. And what the father said? Go on with that. Right, you can't come give me a bad apple. Right? So there's learning, and more learning. So even if he came with this apple, it's not a good apple. And sometimes you come with the apple that you think is good, and guess what? It has all kind of chemicals in it, so there's still learning. So children, first thing to understand about education is that a lot of what you think you know, you don't know. That is the beginning of education, is to realize that you do not know. That's why the beginning of knowledge is to fear God, because God knows everything, right? God knows everything. So once you understand that you don't know, not even a tenth of what God knows, then God can start to teach you. Education is simply using knowledge to achieve a goal. Ellen G. White says, education is a harmonious development of the physical, mental, and spiritual powers. The purpose is to prepare the student for the joy of service in this world and for the higher joy and wider service in the world to come. So what's the purpose of education? Service. Your education should allow you or should equip you to serve. Where do we find education? Colossians 2 verse 3 tells us, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom. Who has the treasures of wisdom? God has all treasures of wisdom. Job 12:3 says, he has counsel and understanding. So we know where to go to get education. Do you get education in school? Who thinks you get education in school? You get knowledge in school, but where do you get education? God. So every time before you go to school, If you really want to be educated, you want to be educated, you say, Lord, teach me. Let God be your teacher. You know, God sent his Holy Spirit. And you know what his Holy Spirit should do? To comfort us and to teach us and guide us. He teaches us. How much truth do you think he teaches us? All truth. So we have a teacher named the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, tells us when education should start. Who knows when education should start? Right. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Now, are you children? Yes, you're children. So who should train you up? Your parents, right? So if your parents tell you to do something and you rebel and you don't want to do it, are you accepting your parents' training or not? No. Can you train up yourselves? No. So why do we fight our parents? Does it make sense? Why do we fight our parents? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says children are like arrows in the hand of the mighty. Psalm 127 verse, I think it's 7 or 8. Imagine if you're an arrow in mommy's hand or daddy's hand. What do you do with an arrow? What do you shoot at? A target, right? No, does the arrow say to the person shooting it, hey, listen, I'm the one that's going to direct my path. Who directs the path of the arrow? The person who's shooting it, right? So can you direct your path? Who's supposed to direct you? Your parents, right? You are arrows in your parents' hands. So your parents is the one that says, okay, Eloe, I want you to be an architect. Eloe might say, I want to be an architect, right? And your parents might say, no, I want you to be a doctor. No, do you think your parents knows what you should be? They don't know? No? If they're the ones who are holding the bow and the arrow and you are the arrow, who should direct your path? You or your parents? So should you tell your parents what you want to be? Why can't you pick what you want to be? Well, does the arrow choose where he wants to go? No? No. You sure? But guess what happens? In America, guess what they tell you children? That you can do anything you want to be. And it sounds good, right? So, but guess what that does to the parents? The parents, they know you and they know what talents God has given you. And your parents are saying, this is what God told me you should be from you were a little child. But America says, no, you can be anything you want to be. Do you understand what's going on? Yeah. Basically, they're trying to take the power out of your parents' hands. Because they don't know you. Does America know you? So how do they know you can be anything you want to be? What if you're only 5 foot tall? Can you be a basketball player? And 5 foot tall? In which league? In the NBA league? You can be 5 foot tall? Do you guys know what 5 foot tall is? Huh? Come here, stand up. You think you can be an NBA? You're about 5 foot. You think you can be an NBA player? Right now?
No.
All right, go on and sit down.
Basketball.
NBA basketball.
Basketball.
Oh, you can play for Miramar. Okay, all right. You can play for Miramar. All right. You think Miramar going to pay you to play basketball? The city of Miramar? Okay, all right. So listen. So you can't be everything you want to be. You know that, right? You can only be what God wants you to be. It's a difference, you know. You can only be what God wants you to be. If you were born with one leg, are you going to win races in the Olympics? With one leg? You ever see a one-legged man run? Children, think. Can a one-legged man walk? Can a one-legged man walk?
No.
Can a one-legged man run? So, whatever God gives you is what you can use, right? Only what God gives you is what you can use, right? If I can't sing, can I go up there and be a singer? It doesn't make any sense, right? So start thinking. Remember, one of the purposes of education is for you to start thinking, okay? So start thinking, what did God give me that I can do? If I can't see, right, then I need somebody to help me to see. As children, we think we know, just like you were answering me back a while ago. You know, one of the things I remember I wanted candy so much when I was a child. And a man said to me, look in your father's wallet. And you want this candy? It was we call it an icy mint, just a little mint. You go and take out $10 and come back and give me that and we'll exchange. Now guess which one was more valuable to me, the $10 or the candy? The candy, right. So 5 cents, it was 5 cents for the ice mint, but I didn't know that. I just knew that I wanted the candy. So I gave the man $10, right, for a 5 cent candy because I didn't know what the value of the candy was. Right now, you guys think you know what the value of time is. So you'll spend all your time watching TV or playing on your game console because you think you know the value of time. And your parents will say, no, don't spend your valuable time sitting down watching television. Go and read a book. And what will we say to our parents? What will we say to our parents? Right. Boring. Because we prefer the candy of the television, right? Or we prefer the candy of playing the game. But remember who your parents are? They're like the hunters. They're like the mighty man. And you are the arrows. And God is saying, listen, I want you to aim this arrow high so they can reach a high position in life, so they can serve many people, right? God wants you to be able to serve many people. What does it mean to serve? To help, right? Don't you want to help people? No, everybody here wants to help people. Some people want to be police officers, nurses, teachers, doctors, because you want to help people, right? Yeah, we need to help people. That's the purpose of education. But you have to remember that you don't know what you think you know. And your parents are wiser than you. That means your parents know what you don't know. That's important. Once you understand that, you can start becoming an educated person. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the Bible says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools, what does despise mean? Hate. So fools don't want to be instructed. Fools don't want wisdom, right? So if you see somebody who says, the teacher is trying to tell you how to solve the problem and you don't want to pay attention, you don't want to listen to your parents' instructions, what are you going to become? The Bible says you're a fool because you hate instruction. You're not a fool because you don't know something. You're a fool because you don't want to know something. Does that make sense? When I was a younger, about 7 years old, we all in this little country called Jamaica, we always only had brown sugar, right? Our sugar was brown. So I remember my older brother, he showed me something one day. You know, my parents had just come back from vacation from America, and they brought this white sugar. I never seen white sugar. I don't remember seeing white sugar before. And my brother, he made sure I saw him, and he opened up the sugar container of white sugar. And he said, and he dipped a big spoonful of this sugar and he put it in his porridge. And he dipped another one. And I'm looking at him like, look at this idiot putting all that salt in his porridge. And he stirred it up and he closed it back. And I don't know, I guess I was looking, my head must have turned, but he hid the sugar. And he said, you want some? And my brother never said that before. He never shared with me, but he gave me a spoonful and I tasted it. And that thing was like, ooh, sweet. And I was like, how is that possible? And he said, what? You didn't know that if you put salt in the porridge and you stir it this way, it's going to turn sugar? I said, oh my Lord. That's all I needed to hear. And I took the salt and I went in. And I stirred, man. I stirred. And let me tell you, I was ready. And I mean, I remember stirring and I tasted it. And I said, no, it's too salty. I said, stir it a little more. And I stirred a little bit more. And I stirred. And I stirred. And it was not until my mother came home that she told me, no, boy, this is sugar and salt. In America, they have white sugar. I didn't know that before. So because I didn't know that, I didn't eat breakfast that day because I sucked salt instead of sugar. So because you don't know something, people will take advantage of you. Do you know that? If you don't know something, if you decide to remain ignorant, if you choose to be a fool, people will take advantage of you. If you could put up that quote for me, let me show you something that's very interesting that you may not know. This is history. Just 150, 60 years ago, America didn't want you to know how to read or to write. You know what? America didn't want people that look like you and me to read or to write. And they made it into law. This is what the law says. It says, slave masters understood that their social control of the slaves could not be based solely on physical coercion. Knowledge was power. And virtually all slave codes or laws established in the United States set restrictions making it illegal to teach slaves to read and write. So the law of America was that black people weren't supposed to be taught to read or write. The statute below was in North Carolina. This was 1830 to 31. An act to prevent all persons from teaching slaves to read or write, the use of figures excepted. We'll go and get to that. This is what the law actually says. Whereas the teaching of slaves to read and write has a tendency to excite dissatisfaction. When you know something, you become dissatisfied with your present state. The more you know, the more you want to know more. You're not content. It says the teaching of slaves to read and write has a tendency to excite dissatisfaction in their minds and to produce insurrection and rebellion to the manifest injury of the citizens of this state. So if you know to read and to write, if you have knowledge, you're harder to control. If you have knowledge, I can't enslave you. You're going to be rebellious if you have knowledge. If you have knowledge, I can't tell you what to do and you do it the way I say do it, just because. You see, the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. But the truth doesn't set you free until you know it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The more truth you know, is the freer you are. The child, the adult, who knows nothing more this week than they did last week, will remain in their present state. If you want to be freer this week, brothers and sisters,
You will decide, you will determine to open up this word more this week. If you say, I'm going to be freer this week than I was last week, let me know more, Lord, of your word. But some of us are content with our present state. Not every slave wanted to be free. Am I lying? Not every slave wanted to be free. In fact, some newly freed slaves, when they were walking in the wilderness, they set up a king and said, we're going to go back to Egypt. They wanted their slavery. Some of us want our slavery. How do I know that? Because our Bibles are dusty. Am I lying? Some of us want our slavery because we're not asking God for more knowledge. But anyway, so this country don't mind you, my black brothers and black sisters, they don't mind you being ignorant. They don't mind when you drop out of school. They don't mind when you get a C when you should have gotten an A. They don't mind that you want to play basketball instead of reading a math book. They don't mind. They're glad that you want to run up and down instead of sitting down and reading. Because if you know, if you have the knowledge, then you might bring injury to the good citizens of your state. This is law. Not too long ago, less than 200 years ago. Do you think it's different today? Do you think America now wants you to be knowledgeable? What do you guys think? Do you think America wants you to know your history? To know to read and to write? No, it's not even cool. Is it cool to be smart? To be a nerd? Is it cool? No, it wasn't cool in my day. So now you understand that there are forces that want to keep you stupid. There are forces out there. The devil is at war with you. So when we tell you, come and have worship, when we tell you to go and read a book, to read your quarterly, to read the Bible, and you get upset, we don't care if you get upset anymore. Because we want you to be free. We want you to live a freer life than we're living. And it would be wicked for any parent, right, not to want their child to live in freedom. So how many of us then will force our children this year? How many of us will force our hand this year to make sure that we aim our children at the correct target? How many of us will take the time out to go to that PTA meeting, to talk to the teacher, to make sure our child is studying or doing his or her homework? How many of us actually think that this system wants to educate our children? If you don't know, brothers and sisters, others will find a way of taking advantage of us. Wisdom, the Bible says, is a defense. In Ecclesiastes, I think it's chapter 8, verse 7. Wisdom is a defense. The Bible again says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is the purpose of education? Education saves us and many others that are hungry, many of us that are thirsty. This is what God will do for us. God will say, for people who are thirsty, thirsting for knowledge, thirsting for health, strength, just people who are in need, each and every one of us, God will say, I'm going to give you water. And he gives us this living water. And each of us, we're standing on the bank looking down. We know there's water in there. But the question is, how are we going to drink the water? And we say, Lord, you put the water in the wrong place. I'm here on the bank. You know I can't swim. You know I can't go down there and get the water and come back up. This is what education does. Most of us will say, okay, well, there's a problem. We need to pray to God more so he can fill up the cup so we can drink water. Let's pray even harder.
Let's ask God, let's sacrifice more. Let's give more. And God says, just ask me, don't ask me for more water. Ask me for wisdom. And you see, this is what wisdom does. This is what education does. Now, let me ask you, any one of us, how are we going to get the water up to the top? All right, exactly. This is what education does. Education says, okay, Lord, I'm going to believe you on Monday. I'm going to believe you for health and strength. And God start giving you wisdom. And the more wisdom and the more knowledge you get, the more you start seeing things are starting to change, right? A glass that was half empty, God is saying, no, just keep filling it up. More wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding, more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding. And we say, Lord, I've been doing this now I'm in 10th grade, Lord. When am I going to get my freedom? I've been learning this. I've been studying. I've been going to school. What's the point? God says, keep learning, more wisdom, more understanding. Some of us adults will say what? We'll say, you know, Lord, I'm too old. Yes, I can't, no more education for me. And then we look at Sister Barrett, who is 30, 20 something, right? And we say, what? If she can do it, I can do it. Right? More wisdom, more knowledge, and we keep going, and we keep going. The Lord give us, and the more we drop it, somebody said drop the apple in there. The more we drop in there, the more the water rises. That is knowledge. That is education. Education will allow you to achieve a goal that others can't achieve because you know how to use the knowledge that God has given you. So now when the water comes up and you drink your fill, everybody else now can come behind you and get some too. They celebrate you because of your education. But where does your education start? In the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Understand, young people, this year, as the year is about, your year is started and about to start. Start out telling yourself, God, what will you have me do this year? Okay? And God will tell you, Lord, help me to sit down and learn the lessons that you want me to learn, even though I don't want to learn it. Remember, even though I don't, this is how you know what discipline is. Remember Usain Bolt, right? He said he would get up at 5 o'clock to go train when everybody is still sleeping. Everybody's still sleeping. He says his body is telling him, why don't you just sleep another 2 more hours? He didn't want to get up and do it. But he got up and did it anyway. And now we celebrate him. Yeah, look what he... And we celebrate what he's accomplished. But we didn't see that the night before. And for years, he was getting up early and doing what his body was telling him, I don't want to do. He was doing what his mind was telling him. Let me just sleep and rest like everybody else. But you know what? There were those who, while their companions, while their friends were asleep, they were up studying through the night. You, young people, God has given you a mighty brain. Okay? And he wants to put great things in there. Now, you have to determine, are you going to allow him to do it, or are you not going to allow him to do it? There's some times that you're not going to want to sit down and listen and say, Lord, I don't feel like studying. And God is going to say, study anyway. Do it anyway. Because one day, you're going to be on the podium, and people are going to say, man, look at him. Look what he's accomplished. And everybody's going to be applauding you and saying, look how great Eloa is. Look how great Jacoby is. Look how great Alex is. Look how great Nazri is. You know what I'm saying? Not just pretty, but great, right? Because you allowed God to use you, okay? Today, stand with me, each and every young person who's about to start school, all right? Stand with me and tell God, I'm going to allow you to use me. I'm going to allow you to make me great. Right? Are you agreeing with me? We come in agreement. You're going to allow mom to, when mom says go and study, you're not going to backbite. You're not going to give her lip. You're just going to study. Even though you don't want to do it, right? You're going to be like Usain Bolt. You're going to say, I don't want to do it, but because I want to be great, I'm going to still allow my mom and my dad to direct my path. Okay? And you will reach the target. You'll reach bigger targets than you even think that you could reach. Lord, I ask that you will be with each and every mind, young mind here, Lord. Give them the wisdom that they will need. Father, I ask that you will allow them to learn to read and to write. Allow them to be freer than their parents were. Allow them to be more knowledgeable, more educated than we were, Lord. Allow them, Father, to experience a life, an abundant life that we only dreamed of, Lord. Father, we realize that each and every generation, you said we should be marching closer and closer to Zion. Father, I ask that this generation, Lord, this generation that will face such darkness, I ask that you will let them allow you in so their light can shine. So those will see, people will see them and know that they are truly children of the Most High God. I thank you for them, Lord. I thank you for the discipline that you will give them, that they will bend their will, that they will subject their minds and their bodies to study, that they will truly be students. So at the end of this year, Lord, each and every one of them can say, yes, I'm a straight A student. Yes, God has given me the ability where I can shine for him. Lord, we thank you for your promise. We know that you can and you will do what you say you will do. Help us to play our part. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, young people, go on God's errands and be great.